The following podcast is intended for listeners over the age of 18. It contains mature subjects and adult discussions, so listener discretion is advised. As we are not doctors or psychiatrists, all advice is for novelty purposes only. All advice and discussion comes from our own personal experiences. Yours may well be different. Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up, there's always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore open relationships and swinging. The pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of swinging in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hand down your pants. I got ahead of myself there. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by. Hope you enjoy. Welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight we're taking our show's inspiration from an old Queen song, an old Queen song. And if history and tradition are any indication, Robert Van Winkle will be stealing a significant portion of our show, remixing it, and claiming he never heard it in the first place. Now that's a current reference for you, isn't it? Anyway, tonight's show is called Under Pressure, and we're going to be talking about pressure. And in the lifestyle, there's pressure coming at you from all sides, so it's one of those things you definitely want to learn to manage, or at least address when you're feeling it. I'm Cooper, and with me in the studio is the beautiful Sasha with her triumphant return.
Yay! Welcome.
We missed you. We did.
Thank you.
We have debonair Dylan, who just acquired a pool, don't you know?
Pool party at Dylan's house.
All right. And we have some summer left for the pool water to get warm, so it's like a big hot tub, right?
Yeah, we'll have to do something about that.
Maybe put a bubbler in, one of those from the fish tank.
That would be fun.
And then, of course, our lovely newest member, Ginger, who almost couldn't make it tonight because the wild sex with the professor knocked a wire loose behind their bed and knocked out the power in their computer room, but
nice.
She's joining us from the playroom tonight.
Yes, absolutely.
The
and that's
playroom.
That's a true story. That's a true story. It's the power's actually still out up there.
Oh my.
Yeah.
So it must have been really good.
Oh, of course. Always.
Well, good. Okay, so tonight we are talking about pressure and how that can affect your time in the lifestyle. And of course, what most people think of when they think of pressure is, well, the horror and pain of erectile dysfunction, which an entire cottage industry has been built around, especially with that guy with the big teeth who smiles a lot because apparently he's learned to no longer have issues with his erection.
I think we all know the whistle.
Right. Well, there's also the bathtubs, too. The two people in
separate bathtubs.
Oh, yes,
when they're outside holding hands outside the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if they were in one bathtub, I'd get it. But two bathtubs, I'm not following. Sorry.
Well, I think it's because the erection is percolating. You know, it's not an, it's not an instant thing. You have to sit and wait a little while. So that's what the bathtub is. It's waiting for the erection to show up.
Very nice. Good. Now I get it.
Well, good, good. one of the things that we want to really emphasize tonight, and one of the things that we can suggest to help relieve pressure, is that you should not consider orgasm the end game goal of your night. They should be considered a side effect of a fun night. And once you have that mindset, you can allow yourself to not stress out about any sort of dysfunction that's hitting you and just enjoy the journey as opposed to the destination.
I have to agree. I mean, both I think the orgasm for you men and also for us women have to be a side effect, you know, effect of the whole night. Yeah, it's great when it happens. It's amazing. However, if you're stressed about it, you're not going to have it. And that's when you're in a group environment or when you're just with your partner, too.
I've actually been thinking about this quite a bit lately, and I'm not really sure why I didn't have anything recent happen to me or, you know, to somebody that was with. But I've actually been able to tell ahead of time that as much as I think I'm going to have a good night or as much fun as I'm definitely going to have, that I just don't feel like it's going to happen for me, you know? So I've never been in a situation
when,
where...
when you say it, are we talking orgasm or erection?
Erection. You know, whether I didn't feel like I was in tip-top shape or, which was one of them, or for some reason I was just feeling self-conscious, or I didn't feel sexy. I didn't feel hot, masculine, you know, it just... that feeling wasn't there, but I wanted to be with somebody else. So I almost felt like I didn't think it was going to happen for me, but I knew I was going to enjoy being with someone else, and I knew I was going to enjoy making somebody else, or, you know, being with someone else and making them have a good time. So I almost felt like I wanted to talk to them ahead of time and saying, you know what, I'm not feeling the greatest, but it's going to make me feel good to see you having a good time. So don't worry about me tonight, let me worry about you. And we'll see where things go.
Ladies, what do you think of that?
Well, I have to say that, I mean, how hot is that? I mean, if someone said, don't worry about me, I'm all about your pleasure tonight, what's the downside of that? I mean, really? I mean, that's fantastic. So I feel like that should take 100% of the pressure off of, you know, the male side of things. If you're willing to focus on her pleasure and not worry. I mean, it's truly the complete opposite of our mainstream male sexuality representation, is that, you know, what that is he's in it to, you know, come and come as fast as he can, and, you know, or at least, you know, hold out until he can give her maybe a little bit of pleasure, and then it happens where he comes, and then, you know, the interaction is done. I feel like if there is a man who's offering up pleasure for me and don't worry about me, that's a deal I'm willing to take. Absolutely.
I agree. You know, sometimes it's nice to be just about you and, you know.
And you get pampered there.
Yes. And not to have to worry. I mean, also, you know, it takes a little bit. I don't know if this was with a partner that you've been with, or, you know, with somebody you haven't, you know, if it's your first encounter, especially, it takes a little bit of pressure off of me also, you know, and if you're not feeling it to go in to the situation with, and then, you know, you don't say anything to me, then I'm all stressed because you're, you know, not getting there either.
Well, then that would be my question to you both, is how does it make, yeah, I mean, I would assume you've each been in a situation where your playmate can't get an erection, and I want to know kind of where that puts you, and do you have to work against the thoughts that maybe you're doing something wrong in order to get to the place where it's probably got nothing to do with you?
Oh gosh, absolutely. I mean, you can, in any type of interaction like that, where you feel like the other person isn't having a good time, immediately you start to question, wow, am I not hot tonight? Am I not on? Am I doing something wrong? I wish, you know, she or he would tell me exactly what they want, because I know I could totally turn them on if they would just tell me what they want, that kind of thing. But for me, when it comes to, you know, the guys, and if they're not getting an erection, as long as I know that they're into the interaction and they're having a good time, the erection is kind of a side thought for me. I mean, as long as he's not fixated and apologizing, it's kind of a side thought for me. So I say just, you know, keep enjoying the interaction and do fun, sexy things that turn you on, and don't get fixated, because I'm not fixated. So why should you be?
You know, that thought was actually much better received than I thought it would. It's not like I thought, you know, there was going to be a negative reaction, but I, you know, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, well, when I've been in the situation before, it's kind of been, where, you know, again, I entered it not feeling kind of off and wondering whether it was going to happen, but then I ended up just mentioning in the middle, you know, I don't think it's going to happen for me, but I want to keep going because I'm really enjoying this. I guess I'd feel more motivated to mention something in the beginning, and then, you know, just, yeah, it takes all the pressure off, and if it happens, it happens. So I guess that's pretty encouraging.
Dylan, do you think if the pressure was gone and you are still pursuing the interaction, that it would come more quickly for you then?
You know, it might. I definitely wouldn't it'd definitely be a nice, unexpected treat.
I know in the times that I've had issue, that specifically is what helps. Just being able to completely take the focus off of it and know it's not an issue and know there's not going to be any expectations from it. Most of the time I find that if I completely put my attention on her, usually with some nice oral sex, which I'm sure she enjoys, then I'm not even thinking about it at all anymore. And the best thing you can do when you're having this issue is to completely stop thinking about it, which is a difficult thing to do.
Sure. Sure. I have to say, and you know, my experience, our experience, Prof and I, we've had kind of, I don't know what to call it, you know, behind the curtain exposure maybe to the lesbian way of things with lovers. And, you know, women having sex with other women don't have that goal line sort of mentality because there's not this immediate expectation of vaginal penetration with a penis. And so they're just really inventive and it's hot. And so my advice is these guys need to watch a little bit of L Word and, you know, brush up on their alternative sexual experience skills. I mean, it's not all about, you know, putting your cock in a pussy. There's a lot more sexy stuff that can happen. And that can totally take the pressure off, whether you want to have actual intercourse or not. I think just knowing that there's a lot of pleasure in those other experiences for women can just set you free. I mean, liberate yourself, men. You know, don't, I mean, you might be fixated because you want that, and that's okay. I mean, I understand that sometimes, you know, you just want that penetration. It's hot, but don't fixate on it like it's the only thing at the buffet. There's a lot more out there.
And one thing to be aware of, I think, is the feedback loop that can often come up from an incident where you haven't been able to get an erection, and then maybe the next time you're worried about, oh, remember last time when I couldn't get an erection, so now I'm worried about that.
Totally.
And of course, once it happens twice, then it's a pattern. And once it's a pattern, then maybe it's probably going to happen again. And it can really easily start to dominate your train of thought when you're meeting with, if it happens with a specific person especially, that you almost get nervous about getting together with that person because what if it happens again, then it's just going to be all the time.
Oh, you know, I remember why I was thinking about that now. Well, good. Tonya and I were together last night. And we had a, it was going to be a quickie, but then it ended up turning into something longer, and so...
A longie?
A longie, and she ended up on top of me, and she just orgasmed everywhere, and it was everywhere, and it was fantastic, but I kind of put my hands up, cupped underneath her breasts, and started just slowly stroking, and she ended up, you know, getting into it again, and more, and it was got really good, and... you know, I realized I was already done, but I was so into it, and it was so hot that I didn't care that I wasn't able to get another erection, or that she was right on top of me. I just was having such a great time with rubbing her and her rubbing all over me that she ended up having a couple more orgasms, and I may not have been able to get another erection right away. I mean, that was all in 10-15 minutes of the last one, but it just felt great and fantastic, and so I guess that got me on the thought train of, well, you know what, I can still have a great time whether or not I'm worrying or wanting an an erection.
You know what, guys, I think it's been a little backwards in my house lately. You know, I've been so busy and our schedules have been so opposite. I've just been like, hurry up and give it to me. And my poor husband is like, what about the foreplay? Can't we take some toys out? Can't we do this? Can't we do that? He's like, you're depriving me. And I've been the one, hurry up. I need you now. Let's get this done. You know, so listening to you guys, it just is making me laugh over here a little bit because we've been, you know, on reverse, you know, role reverse lately.
Well, now I want to ask, because the erectile dysfunction, that's the big thing for the men, but it does happen with the ladies having difficulty getting wet, and it's not as big a deal because you can, there are other things that you can use to help out with that, say lubes and other things, and we may never even find out about it if you apply some lube at the appropriate time. But talk to me about that. Are there ever moments like that where you feel the pressure to be more turned on and you're just not quite there yet?
You know what? I think that goes more into the category where you're trying to like somebody because your partner likes their partner. There's more pressure for me at that point than, oh, no, I'm not ready yet. I think it has to do with the attractiveness of that person that gets me ready.
Yeah, I feel like I've had more of a little bit of the opposite experience where I feel like I'm way turned on and way ready to go before it seems like that's the time for it. So just being wet and being excited and just being, I don't know, I don't want to say embarrassed. It's wrong to, I don't want to be embarrassed. I really don't. But just having that opposite experience where it's like, wow, this is sexy. I have to admit, I get turned on from the interactions and watching a lot. So a lot of times I'm mentally further along. There may not be a lot of physical foreplay, but mentally I've kind of already gone down that road and started to get turned on. So it's almost like the opposite. Although I have to admit that, having someone be pleasantly surprised that you're that wet is not much of a problem.
I've never reached down and said, "Oh my God, you're too wet. This is you're way ahead of me here. I don't even know." No, I've never had that happen. That's never been a thought in my mind.
Well, really. There you go. But I do have to say, I don't think we should judge what our bodies do. I mean, our bodies do what they do, and if your body hasn't caught up with where your mind is yet, or vice versa, don't apologize for it. Just if you're into the interaction and you're maybe not turned on yet, but willing to be turned on by this person or these people, then just go with it. Don't judge it.
You know, I've actually had something, same effect where you can't get an erection, but a different mental situation happened. I think that I've had a total of, this has happened once. I was working with somebody and enjoying myself a lot and giving them like a really nice oil massage and getting into it. And, half an hour, 45 minutes later, I feel euphoric and I feel like I've just hit the sky and that I've like had a kind of a mental orgasm, I guess. But then all of a sudden I can't get it up. Where, for the first 45 minutes or so, I was, rock hard. And then, after all the oral sex and the working and the massaging and all that, all of a sudden it doesn't happen. I've actually had that happen to me too.
Well, actually, I find that interesting because sometimes, if the I really like opening with what I consider my A game, which is the oral sex, and I will open with that and probably spend a good long time doing that. And I've had that happen where, I'm hard that entire time, but when it comes time, it's like, okay, now it's my turn, and what happened? And I just it's hard to figure out where, at what point I lost it. Where did it go there?
Well, I think too, in some interactions, if you're able to luxuriate for long enough and just not worry about having that one peak or that one, you have this beautiful massage or you have this awesome session of, oral sex, which both sound amazing, by the way, and it's just not happening right at that moment, then maybe you adjourn to grab a glass of water or a little bit of chocolate or some other sort of refreshment and are able to, go back into whatever sexy room you were in when you were playing and, start things over again. And that That's ideal. I mean, that's fantastic if you can do that and not put pressure, again, back to the pressure, that, you know, there's one climax somewhere, you know, we're going to climb this mountain, there's one climax, and then we all come down, and then it's done.
Well, I think a lot of what we seem to be coalescing around is that if you can take away, you look at it as a marathon, not a sprint to a finish line. You're going on this long trip with someone, and then you can take those breaks, you can take that relaxation, and you can stop and you can start again. You don't need to do this. Okay, first we're going to go into the bedroom, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, then I'm going to come, then you're going to come, then we're going to be done.
You know, I never thought of taking a break in the middle. It just never occurred to me.
Oh, really?
Taking a break is a lot of fun, yeah.
I never thought of just saying, okay, I've just given you an hour-long massage. Let me go grab some water and let's just chill for a little bit. And,
oh, wow. That... I highly recommend it.
Or, sitting back.
Or two or three
works
breaks.
Works even better with wine.
Oh, yeah. Ah, and chocolate. Yeah, and chocolate. Yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And maybe candles. It's very nice.
Candles.
We're going to take a quick break here, and then when we get back, we're going to be talking about advancement pressure. You know,
yeah, I
got to
go light the candles
swapping.
And get some wine.
Yeah, get that all ready,
and the chocolate,
we're going to take that
and
break.
And the chocolate.
Oh, and the chocolate. Oh,
thank
God.
You. Thank you.
So we'll be right back with Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. You are listening to Life on the Swing Set, a podcast by and for the sexually open. We remind you that all advice and opinions on our show are products of our individual experiences in the lifestyle and should in no way be taken as anything more than commentary. Your mileage will most certainly vary. If you'd like to reach us for advice, to ask a question, or leave a comment, email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com or leave us a voicemail at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. As always, thanks for listening, and now back to our show. Welcome back to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. I am Cooper, and with me is Sasha, Dylan, and Ginger, and we are talking about pressure and how it can dominate your mental capabilities, but it doesn't have to. So next I want to bring us into what I call advancement pressure. You know, when you're in a dating relationship or a swinging relationship, there's sort of this implied pressure to get to the next level. It's something you don't have with regular friends because you're not looking to advance to another level with them unless you're, you know, me, which, you know,
you are
I do
so
that
naughty.
All the time. But
naughty, naughty.
I'm not going to let you spank me, Dylan, no matter how many times you ask.
Fine.
Now, if either of the ladies here want to spank me, that's negotiable.
Come on over.
Okay, I'll be right there.
Okay.
But first we should finish the show.
Okay.
So advancement pressure, like, so when you meet a new couple, there's sort of this little bit of pressure to say, you want to come back to our place. Can we come back to your place? To take it to the next step. So one of the things you need to figure out is how to get around that pressure and just relax the entire situation. How do you do that, Ginger?
Honestly, I think the best way to deal with that is to just know what you want and be decisive. So Prof and I, we kind of know what we're looking for if we're going out on a date. And we tend to meet people, as I mentioned in the last podcast, in person at parties. And oftentimes we meet them a couple of times before we go out on dates, we date, we court, and we know where we are with those folks. We know where we are and what we want, what Prof and I want. And so we're pretty decided, that, you know, these are people that we want to bring back to our house or go to their house or play at another party. And so I honestly can say I don't tend to feel that pressure to advance an interaction because I know what I want from it and I know what Prof and I want from it. And we just do our best to go into every interaction that way.
I'll give an example of when Marilyn and I have felt some pressure. Was we had just met a new couple, and we enjoyed their company, and we hung out, and we played, and we went to dinner, and we were enjoying ourselves. And then suddenly they got it in their head that they wanted to be what they called our favorite couple. And to them, this meant seeing them far more regularly than we see most couples. You know, we generally see people about once a month because it's a good amount of time between dates, and it's a reasonable amount of time to still claim your own time together and your time with your other friends. And they suddenly became obsessed with this, we want to be your favorites. And ultimately, we had to say, you know what? Maybe you're just looking for a little bit more than we're willing to give you right now. And we had to send them along. But it was extremely pressuring in that for a time, was because, you know, we don't want to disappoint them. We enjoyed their company. We didn't want them to feel like we don't like them, but at the same time we weren't willing to move in the direction that they wanted to move. And it was a unique situation. It was a bit of a hard situation too.
You know, I have to make a comment real quick, too. I understand where you're coming from, where you have to push somebody away like that. We find that, Rob and I find sometimes that we are so laid back and so not pressuring to anybody else because early on we received pressure and we didn't like it, that at the end of the evening or the next day when we talk to a couple that we've been out with, that we actually regret that neither one of us wanted to, you know, move or, you know, we're worried about putting pressure on the other one, that we didn't take it to where we all had wanted it to go. You know, so it's actually kind of the opposite because we won't pressure anybody. And, you know, we kind of tend to hang out with the people who don't pressure us back. But, you know, that also is a bad thing because, yeah, also we miss out on some fun sometimes.
So it almost there needs to be a teensy bit of pressure. Somebody needs to be a teensy bit more dominant in order to get things
more aggressive, a little bit without pushing you away. You know, there has to be that balance of, you know, good pressure somewhere in there.
Okay, one of the things that Ginger pointed out to me when we were discussing the show earlier is there's often a lot of pressure for the female half of a couple to play with the other female half of the couple. It sort of seems to be this implied thing in most lifestyle situations, and I never will say all lifestyle situations, obviously, but it does seem to be the kind of thing where if one of the girls are bi, then they'll expect the same from the other one.
Indeed. I have to say, from the perspective of being a woman who is pretty evenly divided between my attractions in terms of men and women, is, you know, that's entirely unnecessary from my perspective. I would much rather have an interaction with a woman who I knew was into it for her own interest and her own pleasure, as opposed to being into it for her partner's pleasure. So I think that is certainly something that needs to be handled among, you know, if you're playing with another couple, a man and a woman, you know, that you handle that with your partner and say, this is not something that turns me on. This is not something I'm interested in for myself. And therefore you're not exposing the other woman to this experience of having essentially what is, you know, unreciprocated, unrequited passion. It's awkward. And so I would recommend to women who, you know, really would put themselves in that box of being heterosexual, that, you know, it's not something you have to do, even if the other woman considers herself bisexual. I mean, Prof and I have played with women who are completely heterosexual. Now, granted, some of them had some curiosities, and that can go in a certain direction if it's legitimately coming from her. However, if you're heterosexual, you know you're heterosexual, you have no interest in playing with another woman, by all means, just make that clear, because, you know, I personally am not looking to just score with every woman that is out there. So definitely have that conversation. And if that's why you're doing it is just for him, I really recommend you handle that and have that conversation and find a way to play together that is satisfying for both of you.
One thing I find interesting is it seems like the opposite effect is happening when it comes to why couples are not looking for bisexual males, because they're assuming very strongly that bisexual male will not be able to resist playing with the presumably heterosexual in the couple. He will just pressure and pressure and pressure. And it's interesting that there's this fear from the bisexual male side, but there's also this presumption on the bisexual female side. And I can kill a conversation like nobody's business.
Go ahead,
Sasha.
It's agreed, you know.
Yeah.
It's agreed, you know. It's a very true statement that men in this, you know, environment are kind of looked down upon almost if they're bisexual. Like, you know, that they're only looking for another bisexual couple.
Right.
Right.
And meanwhile, you know, there are many times and many situations where Marilyn and I will go out, and Marilyn is definitely bi and very, very strongly so. But there are many a night where she doesn't do anything with the female of the other couple. And it's simply because this is one of those nights where we are doing a simple swap situation, you know, or we're in separate rooms and it's just really not conducive to the girl-girl action in that point. So it's funny how there's the assumption, and of course way off topic, that girls can flip their switch far easier than guys can flip their switch.
Well, plus there's always the presumption that swingers are also always on and also looking to score.
That's very true.
You know, some vanillas have, and so it might originate in kind of the same place.
When we're looking at different kinds of pressure, one of the places I feel like we can feel pressure is when it comes to safer sex. And I think there's good pressure around safer sex, the pressure to actually have safer sex and to put it out there as, you know, we have safer sex. There are condoms here on the table. This is how we play, and this is how we always play. But certainly with Prof and I, we've certainly experienced certainly conversations with other swinger friends that, you know, there can be that pressure to
play the barebacking game.
To play the barebacking game, and, you know, it's usually disguised in some way as, like, let's kind of enter this special relationship piece, like the fluid bonding sort of piece, but not really. And so I've never felt like it's been, you know, sinister by any stretch. But certainly I've personally felt it in conversations, not even in play situations, but in conversations with men who've made it very clear that using a condom just takes a lot of the pleasure out of the act for them. And, you know, wow, okay, what shall I do with that? So there I feel pressure, certainly never pressure I would capitulate to, but pressure to not use a condom.
And we had a situation where, again, and like you said, I don't think it was with malice at all. I mean, it was just that it was something they like, and it was a couple we really engaged with. And it was after a few times, and they brought up bareback play, and I'm happy we decided that we weren't interested in that. But at the same time, we did feel a lot of pressure that, you know, oh, well, they really want to do this. Should we do this? And we were seriously considering it until we came to our senses and realized that, come on, we're risky enough in this lifestyle. Why on earth would we chance that little extra bit of risk there?
So, you know, I'll admit, and I know I mentioned it in one of the previous shows, that the idea of fluid bonding kind of intrigued me a little bit more as just a, you know, kind of another facet of swinging. But at the same time, just like you're concerned about one more level of risk, you know, so were we. And the only way that I could see doing that would be to have kind of a closed circuit of people that we ended up seeing that were all on the same level and all, you know, decided to be checked and then all decided to commit to just sleeping with each other. But that requires a different kind of relationship with all the people that you're going to be with, because you're also going to have to trust them explicitly not to be with anybody else unless they either opt out of the group or, you know, something. You have to trust them not to be with other people, otherwise you end up all sharing bodily fluids. And it just, even if it's with another couple, then you're also kind of getting closer to a possible poly relationship where, you know, you may not be in love with your other couple or anything, but you have a special relationship with them, and they're the only ones you sleep with. And I couldn't have a fluid bonded relationship with one couple, but then have a protected relationship with another set of couples. It's adding another layer of risk doesn't hold any attractiveness to me. Now, I do admit that, you know, sex is more fun without a condom, but sex at all is much more fun than no sex or limiting sex. And so if I when I look at it in that perspective, where I can choose from the entire populations of swingers out there that may be interested in us as a couple to the few people that would be interested in us as a fluid-bonded couple that we may know of, I'm okay with being protected and not being pressured into not practicing safe sex and being open to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you never... that closed circuit is, I'm not going to say impossible, but it's very difficult to actually control, because the moment you add another, I mean, if you're doing a couple-on-couple situation, then it is basically a very similar to a poly relationship. It's not a poly relationship necessarily, but you're closing the it's like you're in a monogamous relationship, except there's now four of you.
Right, right.
But as soon as you add more people, even if they use condoms with other couples, you still run the risk of introducing herpes and HPV and other things that are transmittable with condoms on into the relationship. And once it's in a relationship that's built without condoms, it's like you've just given them the keys to the kingdom.
Right. I have to say, Cooper, two things. The first is, and Dylan too, the first is the flip side of risk is responsibility. And I see it from the perspective of the responsibility to be safe or safer with people outside of that fluid bonded relationship. And if you're the person who has some sort of either slip up or who knows, and you're the person who is responsible for, you know, introducing some sort of STI into that group, I mean, how that would feel horrible. And so it's the flip side of that risk is responsibility. So I see the flip side of that. And then the other piece I feel like is indeed it's introducing a type of monogamy where, you know, that's, I mean, I don't want to say we're trying to avoid that necessarily, but we're opening ourselves up to possibilities and new relationships as swingers, whereas, you know, maybe in a poly situation that may not be the draw. The draw is, you know, to have more loves as opposed to just, you know, more variety and fun in the sexual realm. So...
Well, not only that, but it's not that we think monogamy is bad. It's just that part of our entire reason for being the swinger community is the thesis that monogamy, in general, is a kind of a broken construct. It's this thing we've created rather than this thing that grew within us. So, you know, to say that Well, one partner is not enough, but two are, is kind of strange to me. You know, it's not that we're insatiable. It's just that part of the draw is the newness and the uniqueness of everything. And so therefore, as soon as you close it down, that newness and uniqueness, you have to fall back on the old things that every couple in America is trying to revitalize their marriage with, you know, like sexy dice.
Sure, sure. Well, and then there's also the challenge of revoking the fluid bonded piece, which that's a mind bender for me.
You know, I was right about to say, I'd almost go so far as to say, I might be interested in trying it for 3 to 6 months sometime. You know, it would take some setup in the beginning, and it would take some trust. But
it would take at least 6 months to set up, man. You don't want to do it.
Okay. 6 months. Mm-mm. Hard no, 6 months.
Well, no, it's good. I'm saying it would take 6 months before you can be reasonably certain that that HIV test is accurate. 6 months since the last time you fucked anyone outside the circle.
Okay, so 6 months. That would be a tough 6 months. But then, you know, after that, when you do want to revoke it, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. That pretty much sealed it. I think I'm done pursuing that.
Now, I don't want to pressure you not to do it.
Right.
I just want to suggest that maybe it's not the best idea.
Hey, iterative thought processes, you know, are a positive thing. Yeah. Good.
So, without any more pressure, I'm going to suggest we are nearing the end of the show. And wonder if anyone here has anything else that they'd like to address about the pressure idea.
I don't like being pressured to wrap up.
I know you don't. You like suggesting the wrap-up should be there and then expecting me to jump on it. That's your game. Okay, then I'll wrap up. You've been listening to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, so here's the portion of the show where I pressure you all out there to do something for us. Because we've been doing all this stuff for you, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, we do like to hear ourselves talk, though. So it's not only for you. It is the narcissist in all of us. It's not a big thing I'm asking, so don't worry. We just want you to participate in our discussion by, you know, liking us on Facebook, following us on Twitter. We're Swing Set Life on Twitter, or contacting us via our contact page or contact at lifeontheswingset.com, or calling us and leaving filthy and profane or witty and urbane voicemails at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. But regardless of your contact method, why not send us a line and let us know what you think or what you'd like us to talk about in the future. Next week, we will be discussing threesomes, foursomes, and moresomes. So it's going to be all about number dynamics next time. So this is Cooper. Thank you guys for participating in this discussion tonight. And thank you all for swinging by.
Good night.
Have you ever longed to blog about your swinging experience or ideas? Well, you can at Life on the Swing Set. Drop us a line at contact@lifeontheswingset.com and say you're interested in joining our writing team.